Kamala Harris's journey begins in Oakland, California, where she was born to immigrant parents deeply engaged in the civil rights movement. Her father, Donald, came from Jamaica to study economics, while her mother, Shamala, arrived from India at just 19 to pursue her doctorate. Though their marriage ended when Kamala was 5, her mother's influence was profound. Shamala raised Kamala and her sister Maya with an unwavering belief that they could accomplish anything through determination and hard work, a conviction that stemmed from her own family's legacy of standing against injustice in India. Growing up, Harris was immersed in environments where social justice wasn't just discussed, but actively pursued. She attended civil rights marches with her parents and was part of a national school desegregation program at Thousand Oaks Elementary, where her first grade class represented a beautiful tapestry of backgrounds. This early exposure to diversity showed her how different communities could enrich rather than divide one another, a perspective that would later inform her approach to public service. Outside school, Harris found mentorship in Regina Shelton, who ran a nursery school with posters of Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman on the walls. Mrs. Shelton demonstrated extraordinary kindness, consistently reaching out to mothers needing support and modeling the community care that would become central to Harris's vision of justice. Harris describes walking into freshman orientation at Howard University as heaven, surrounded by hundreds of people who looked like her from across America and the African diaspora. Howard's power wasn't just its history as a Black institution founded after the Civil War. It was that every signal told students they could be anything, young, gifted, and Black with no limitations. Harris fully embraced college life, running for freshman class representative, chairing the Economics Society, joining debate team, and pledging Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. She balanced academics with multiple jobs, interning at the Federal Trade Commission, researching at the National Archives, and giving tours at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. After Howard, Harris attended law school at UC Hastings in Oakland. Her decision to become a prosecutor met resistance from friends and family who questioned her choice given America's history of prosecutorial injustice against people of color. Harris saw potential to change the system from within, inspired by prosecutors who fought the KKK, corrupt politicians, and corporate polluters. When her first case was called, Harris rose and spoke the words that would define her career. Kamala Harris, for the people, embodying her belief that prosecutors represent not just victims, but society at large. As Harris progressed to violent felonies, she specialized in sex crimes, with child cases being most devastating. She recalls building trust with a 6-year-old molestation victim through play, yet knowing the child couldn't effectively articulate her trauma to a jury. Harris broke down crying in the bathroom, confronting her inability to help without sufficient testimony. These experiences revealed the system's limitations. Convictions stopped perpetrators, but rarely healed victims or broke trauma cycles, insights that shaped Harris's future policy work. After becoming San Francisco's district attorney, Harris implemented Back on Track, giving nonviolent, first-time drug offenders a second chance. Despite opposition from traditional prosecutors, the program proved effective. Only 10% of graduates reoffended, compared to 50% for similar offenders, costing $5,000 per participant versus $50,000 for prosecution and incarceration. Harris rejected the tough-on-crime versus soft-on-crime dichotomy, believing one could support effective policing while opposing excessive force and racial profiling, and advocate for consequences while fighting unjust incarceration. When Harris became California's Attorney General in 2010, she immediately confronted the foreclosure crisis, discovering major banks had been illegally robo-signing home foreclosures. Despite pressure from the White House, fellow attorneys general, and the banking industry, Harris refused to accept an inadequate settlement. In a confrontation with J.P. Morgan's CEO, Jamie Dimon, she firmly prioritized homeowners' interests over banking profits. Her persistence paid off. Instead of the initial $2 to $4 billion offer, Harris secured $20 billion in homeowner relief. She then established the California Homeowner Bill of Rights, prohibiting predatory practices and allowing homeowners to sue non-compliant banks. This willingness to challenge powerful interests, even when standing alone, became a defining characteristic of Harris's public service, showing that meaningful reform requires courage against overwhelming opposition. In 2014, Harris met Doug Emhoff on a blind date arranged by her best friend. They quickly connected and married in a ceremony blending their Indian and Jewish heritage. Doug's children, Cole and Ella, call her Mamala, and the family established Sunday dinner traditions where everyone contributes to the meal preparation. That same year, Harris declined a potential U.S. Attorney General position under Obama, preferring to continue her work in California. In 2016, she won Barbara Boxer's vacated Senate seat, coinciding with Donald Trump's presidential election. Her victory speech emphasized that each generation must remain vigilant in the ongoing battle for civil rights and justice. As a U.S. senator, Harris challenged the administration's immigration policies. When Attorney General Sessions announced the end of DACA, she thought of people like Yuriana Aguilar, a DACA recipient and biomedical researcher studying the heart's electrical system. The family separation crisis at the border deeply troubled Harris. At Otay Mesa Detention Center, she met mothers working 7 days straight for just $4 to afford calls to locate their children. Most alarming was the complete lack of reunification planning. Facility staff couldn't identify who was responsible for reuniting families, and parent-child records had disappeared or been destroyed. Harris condemned this state-sponsored child abuse as a shameful chapter in American history, demonstrating her commitment to protecting the vulnerable regardless of political consequences. Throughout her career, Harris has developed key principles that guide her leadership approach. Test the hypothesis. Growing up as a scientist's daughter taught Harris to formulate hypotheses, challenge assumptions, and reevaluate when evidence contradicted her theories. She believes public officials must pursue bold solutions rather than preserving political capital. Go to the scene. Effective policymaking requires direct experience. Visiting troops in Iraq, Syrian refugees in Jordan, or environmental justice communities demonstrates that physical presence matters. Embrace the mundane. Good leadership combines vision with meticulous execution of seemingly tedious tasks. Often the small stuff is actually the big stuff. Words matter. Those in positions of influence must choose words with precision. How we name things shapes how people think about them. You may be the first, don't be the last. When breaking glass ceilings, your responsibility is to ensure others follow. Harris encourages young women to raise their hands, take credit for their ideas, and lift others up. These principles reflect a leader who values both bold vision and careful implementation, who recognizes the power of words and coalition building, and who understands that progress often requires fighting worthy battles that may not be immediately won.